Welcome back to Mound Money. Our next interview was recorded last week by our co-host, Renee Bodley Miller. She had an opportunity to talk in person with Brian Shurkin, who's the president of Columbus Pacific Properties. We talked with Brian last December, and since he has so many projects in the works around town, we wanted to check in with him again and get a status report. Plus, he's got some big news about a new initiative for children he and his wife are introducing to the Park City area.
For the last 30 years, Columbus Pacific has developed apartment complexes, student housing, assisted living centers, and shopping centers all over the country. Here in town, they have redone the old Kimball Art Space in Park City, and at Canyons Village, they are about to break ground on the luxury property Pendry Residences while they wrap up their work on two other properties, Apex Residence and Viridian. Shurkin immigrated to this country more than 30 years ago, and he has some strong opinions about the immigration system in our country, and he's doing something about it. He tells Renee all about it. Here's her interview with Brian Shurkin, president of Columbus Pacific, which she recorded on Wednesday.
Brian Shurkin, welcome, and thank you for making time for KPCW's Mountain Money and our listeners.
Thank you very much for having me. It's great to be here.
You know, our town has a love-hate relationship with guys like you. You bring in the great new hotels and the amenities and opportunities that go along with them, like the great restaurants and ski beaches and beautiful spaces that we like to take our out-of-town guests to. You also bring more tourists who bring more dollars to our economy, but with that comes growth and traffic, which, of course, we don't like. We talked to you on Mountain Money last December, and you mentioned how much you and your family love Park City. You live here full-time now or not quite yet?
We live here half-time.
Half-time.
Yeah, so we live in Park City half of the year and in Los Angeles the other half.
So how do you balance what you do for a living, develop these great properties, and balance that with what you love about where you live?
To be honest about it, when you're developing in Park City, you're absolutely not doing it for a living. I'm not sure that the returns that we get from these projects actually justify the risk and effort. We're really doing it from a place of passion, which is not to say we don't expect to generate a return, but I have to say that in the real estate business, there are a lot easier ways to make money. We absolutely love Park City. We've been coming here for 25 years. My kids learned how to ski in the Canyons Village, and we've had a home in Park City for 10 years. We love this place. We spend as much time here as we possibly can. We've dramatically increased the amount of time we spend here, and everything we're doing here is from the perspective is how do we enhance the experience for both the visitor and for the local community.
I'm surprised to hear you say that maybe the return on the investment isn't that great. This is your first foray into resort development. Is that correct?
Well, Apex really was our first foray. We've been building custom homes in Park City for about 10 years now. So we're very familiar with the market, the cost of construction, and the demand, and the margins associated with the construction that we've done. I will tell you that the reason we're doing it is because we love it. When my wife and I built our first home here, we had such a great time working with the architects and the contractors and the local community that we said, well, let's do this again. And my wife actually became a home builder. Her background is in the design industry, and we became co-developers. And every project we did it because we loved it. And we only built projects that we love building, which applies to what we're doing in the Canyons Village as well.
So let's talk about Apex Residences. It's a 63-unit condo project. Is it finished?
Apex will be finished right around the end of this year. 53 of the units have been sold, and residents have moved in to about 15 of the units already. It is an absolutely spectacular project. As far as we were concerned, it was in a location that really can't be replicated, right at the base of the mountain above the Canyons Village. And the fact that we were able to build a ski run through the middle of the property, which enabled residents to ski to the door of their units. There's actually a ski run that runs above the property, which enables the residents at the top level of units to ski into their units as well, enabled us to create something very special. In conjunction with that, we are great admirers and supporters of more contemporary architecture. The project has been very well received, which is reflected by the number of units that we've sold. I have to say it was somewhat of a risk when we started because everybody told us that everybody still wants the traditional mountain house. We were very skeptical of that. We took a leap of faith, and we think we've built something that is really beautiful. I can tell you that there would have been less expensive projects to build on that site. It has two subterranean parking structures, so you see no cars on the site. It has the ski run that runs through the middle of it, and our goal was really to build something, you know, truly spectacular that we would be proud of forever, and I think that is the same is true of everything that we've built in Park City.
So that's a 63-unit project, and you said 53 have sold. For anyone listening, they want one of those 10 that's left over. What's the price point?
The prices range from about $1.8 million up to about $4 million, depending on the unit type. And we've also raised prices quite a bit from the beginning of the project because, you know, the initial buyers were willing to take a risk. They couldn't see what they were buying. They didn't know the quality of what we were going to build. And now that people have been able to see the project, I think that it has been received really well.
What ski run goes through there?
So it's actually a private ski run.
Oh.
Well, it's a new ski run.
And we're talking Canyons Village, right?
Yes.
And so as you go up the gondola, Red Pine Gondola, mm-hmm. you see Apex on the left.
That is correct, yeah.
Gotcha.
So if you were skiing down to the Hyatt and you took a left turn, you would ski through a newly created ski run that runs through the middle of our property, which would take you either to your unit or back down to the gondola.
And you're partnering with Vail on this, is that right?
So Vail is operating the property for us. They are running the rental program for the owners who choose to use them, and they are also managing the HOA and will manage the front desk as well and provide access to all of the amenities and benefits that being in a Vail-managed property provides.
So I'm a tourist. I want to come out here to ski Canyons Village. I want ski in, ski out. I go to the Vail website, and this would be one of the properties that would be available for rent?
That is correct, because many of the owners or the second homeowners in Park City like the idea of renting out their homes when they're not using them in order to offset the cost. For those owners at Apex, they have the opportunity to utilize Vail to rent those homes for them. And if you go to the Vail or Park City website and click residences, you will see the available Apex residences on the website. And we've actually been quite amazed at some of the rental rates that these units are getting. So the project is still incomplete and there's a lot of construction going on. But even with that, people have been paying really good rents for the units, which really inures to the benefit of the current owners.
Can you give us an idea of the range of those rents?
I can't offhand, but I know that I've been very surprised by how high they are, particularly over the festive season, Sundance and Presidents, because they're larger units and there are very few high-quality, larger luxury units in the marketplace.
So you've been in the development business for a long time. Is this standard operating procedure for you where you build and develop and then someone else comes in and manages the property for you? Or are you normally the manager as well?
So there are certain properties that we do manage, but what we've learned in the hospitality and condominium business is that there's great value in being associated with a brand because the brand makes a promise. And that's a promise of quality and service, which has to do with their heritage and their years in business. So I think that a renter knows that when they rent from Vail, they will get a certain level of service. When they rent from Pendry, which is a part of Montage, they will get a certain level of service. So the brand is very sensitive to the experience of its guest, which obligates it to deliver consistent and high-level service.
Let's move on to Pendry Residences. This is also Canyons Village. And new breaking news, today you secured a $165 million loan and closed on the land for Pendry Park City. Now, for those of us who aren't developers, can you put that in context? I mean, it seems like an awful lot of money to me.
Yes, it's a and to me as well. it's an enormous project. I think what that announcement reflects is the fact that this is a real project. I think a lot of people have come into this town and made lots of promises, and not delivered. Our commitment is to deliver. Every project we've worked on, we've delivered on, and the people we work with and the partners we have make that commitment as well. So we've been working on the Pendry project for almost 2.5 years now, and that's really just the planning stage. We've made a tremendous investment in the architecture, design, engineering, guest experience, and really until you put your entire capital structure in place, I think people doubt whether you're actually going to build the project or not. We've actually announced our groundbreaking date, which is going to be July 19, and we invite everybody to come join us. It's going to be on the development site, which is the parking lot that is surrounded by the Sundial Lodge, the Hyatt, and the Hilton. And we've always had our eye on this lot. I mean, this lot is the heart of what should be the Canyons Village. And our goal is to build more than just a residential project on the site. It is to build the next generation of ski village. The property has 40,000 square feet of commercial space on the ground level. It has 2 levels of subterranean parking. It will be a true ski village with an après ski experience that doesn't currently exist in Park City. And that was always our goal, was to bring a level of ski experience to Utah that wasn't previously held, based on the experience that we've had as skiers in other places.
Now, that is something that resonated, I think, with a lot of our listeners when you mentioned that last December on our show. And you said this is going to be a ski village experience beyond anything that's available right now in the area. And it allows the customer to have the entirety of a ski experience without leaving the property. And as we talk about things like increasing traffic in our area, I think a lot of people's ears perked up with that.
That is correct. Although we do expect all of our guests to still engage with Main Street Park City, because the charm of Park City is really on Main Street. So what we see is our property enhancing the experience of the guest here, not at the expense of any other part of town. We've invested in Main Street, and we can talk about that in a little bit. We're big believers in Main Street. And what we believe is that what we're doing enhances the overall both guest experience and the overall economic benefit to the area. With the mountains combined, the Old Canyons Ski Resort and Park City combined, we expect that more guests will begin their ski day in the Canyons Village over time, because it actually provides a better entry experience into the mountain than Park City Village does, both based on the amount of traffic trying to get into Park City Village on a powder day, and the amenities that will be available in the Canyons Village. What we're creating will supplement the existing village. We don't expect to eliminate what's currently in the village. We expect to be able to work with the stakeholders in the village to enhance the experience in the existing village, to provide a much greater variety of experience to the guest. Plus, what people need to keep in mind is that this is just the initial stage of the development of Canyons Village. There will be multiple other projects developed around the core, some of them hopefully by us and some by other developers, and there are other developers developing there right now, which will provide a much more comprehensive experience over time.
Well, I was going to ask you that when you said there's a lot more to be developed there. Any other projects that you have your eye on? You can announce it here first.
So, yeah, I mean, we're working on a number of projects in the village because we're so passionate about the village and the experience that can be delivered there. We also love building in the county because in the Canyons Village, there is a master plan that exists. And as long as you build within the constraints of the master plan, you have a very predictable path forward. Our relationship with the county is terrific. They're very supportive. Our relationship with Vail is terrific. Our relationship with the landowner is fantastic. And that delivers a very predictable path to us, which as a developer is very important. So yes, we do have our eye on other parcels. No, I'm unable to announce any of them yet, because once we announce something, we're going to do it.
Well,
there's still quite a bit of uncertainty, I would say, around some of the other things we're looking at. But once we get to a greater level of certainty, we'll certainly provide more specifics.
We'll have you back on the show for that.
Certainly.
Just to tick off a couple boxes for our listeners about Pendry Residences in Canyons Village, it's 150 unit, and you're selling all 150 units, and they have lockouts for rentals, is that right?
That is correct. So the number has actually increased to 152 units. 83, I believe it is, of the units have lockouts, which enable the owners to rent their units out in multiple ways. So, for example, if it's a three-bedroom unit with a lockout, it can be rented as a three-bedroom, a two-bedroom, a studio. So it provides a lot of flexibility to the owner in terms of generating revenue on their unit. The entire project is going to be managed by Pendry, which is part of Montage. And a big part of the reason we went with Pendry is because of their relationship with Montage, because the Montage promise in Park City has been lived up to in every single way. I think when anybody goes to Montage, they know exactly what they're going to get. It's going to be the highest level of service. The Pendry experience is differentiated from Montage in some very interesting ways. So,
how so?
Pendry is part of the trend in hospitality that is known as what they call new luxury, which moves away from the traditional five-star hotel that Montage is. So we expect to deliver an equal level of service and in many ways a higher level of experience by creating a project that is much more architectural. So our architecture will be much more contemporary than Montage and much more activated. So the energy of our project will incorporate a lobby lounge that we expect many, many people to be sitting in, eating, drinking, hanging out, engaging. The project has five restaurants, all of which are around a plaza, one of which is at the rooftop pool, which will be the only rooftop pool in Park City, which, by the way, we expect to become the number one wedding location in Park City.
And all of this will be done, you believe, by 2021? Is that right?
Yes. The whole project is being built at one time.
Are you selling it now?
Yes. So we started our pre-sales in February. We took reservations on almost $100 million of units in the first 3 months of our pre-sales. So we were incredibly excited by the way the community responded to the product we were building. We think a lot of that has to do with how unique it is, with its location, with its activation. The property also has a full-service spa. It has a kids club. It'll have a family restaurant.
So how many units do you have available left to sell?
We've sold about 50% of the project already. So there are about 75 to 80 units still available.
Still available. And ranging, price point?
Ranging from a studio, which can be purchased for around $400,000, to a four-bedroom penthouse for around $3.7 million. So what we did here is we delivered a wide variety of product at a wide variety of price point in order to make it accessible to the greatest number of buyers in the marketplace.
So a lot of projects happening at Canyons Village. There was your first project, I believe, in town, the Old Kimball Art Space here in Old Town. You talked about what a great relationship you have with the county. Let's talk about the challenges you faced with Kimball. Developing in Old Town, I think anyone who knows Old Town, is a lot more challenging. Where does that project stand now, and how did you get involved in that space to begin with?
We believe that this is the best located project on Main Street, Park City, and the most underutilized corner. We felt that it created a gap in the continuity of Main Street between Upper and Lower Main Street, and by filling in the gap with a very high-quality project, we would be able to connect the two parts of Main Street. And I think we've been successful in doing that by creating what we consider to be a really beautiful building. And I'm going to do a shout out here to Craig Elliott, who did the architecture for us. And so we're very proud of what we created over there.
For our listeners, just for some perspective, this is where L.L. Bean is now. And then on the Heber Avenue side, it is We Norwegians, which is a store there. And then it will be an event space?
It is an event space. So on the upper level of the project is a permanent event space. And we created that because we felt there was a real shortage of great space on Main Street available for groups coming into town, for weddings, for events, for Sundance. And we felt like the demand for a space on Main Street would be really great. And that's actually proven out to be true. The event space is open, and we've had some really phenomenal events in the space. So we're very excited about that. We work with Culinary Craft, who manages the space for us and handles all the catering. And for anybody who's experienced their catering, they are absolutely fantastic.
Were you surprised about the reaction of the town about noise on a rooftop patio?
Absolutely, because we generate far less noise than the street generates. So the buses, the cars, et cetera, generate way more noise than our project generates. Now, we've done a bunch of noise studies. We're working through a process with the city. I'm quite sure the outdoor area will be open for events quite soon. And we couldn't be more excited about the project. We love it.
So this is the first summer that that rooftop event space will be open?
That is our expectation.
And so we haven't had an event there yet?
That is correct.
Okay, but you've had indoor events?
We have had many indoor events.
Were you at all interested in the Park City Mountain Resort parking lot development? Was Columbus Pacific, did you express interest to Vail about developing that area?
We really didn't because we have limited resources, and our goal is to focus on projects where we have a very predictable path forward. We weren't confident that the path forward on that project was highly predictable. We also have our hands full in the Canyons Village and feel like we have established relationships in the Canyons Village that enable us to develop really great product there. And with the limited resources we had, we decided to focus our areas in Canyons Village.
Let's move on to immigration. We've got about 5 minutes left in this interview, and I stumbled upon an editorial that you wrote in the Salt Lake Tribune last summer. Immigrants help build the cities that make Utah shine. Let's embrace them. You're an immigrant yourself.
Yes, I am. So I immigrated to the United States about 36 years ago now from South Africa. I love this country. I love everything that it has offered me, all of the opportunity I've had here, the family I've built here, the friends, the relationships, the business. I love everything about the opportunity that this country has delivered to me. And I am personally feel very strongly about the lack of immigration policy in our country and the divergence of opinion on both sides of the immigration issue and our inability to come up with policy that enables our country to succeed and grow. I'm also distressed about the demonization of immigrants in the United States, particularly in relation to the fact that the vast majority of them come here for the same opportunity that I came here for, and they're working to make a better life for their families. And when we look at it in a local context, of the vast majority of workers in the hospitality industry being immigrants or families of immigrants, and the fact that they don't have access to basic resources, to me is just unacceptable. So when we began spending much more time in Park City and wanted to engage in the community in a greater way, we reached out to the Park City Community Foundation about where they felt the greatest need for immigrants in the community was. And where they felt it was in the area of kids between the ages of 0 and 3. Most of whom have two working parents and their families and are put into informal daycare. And what that really means is that they sit in a child seat in front of a television set for 8 hours a day. And
at somebody's private home, probably with a lot of other kids.
That is correct. Yeah. And what that results in is kids going into kindergarten that are unprepared. They don't have the language skills, the social skills, the academic skills to succeed. And the vast majority of them never catch up. And the dropout rates of these kids in high school are dramatic, in some cases over 70%. And we felt that a small investment at this stage of their development would result in an enormous cost saving at a later stage and their ability to contribute to our community in a much greater way later. So in conjunction with the Park City Community Foundation and two phenomenal organizations that they work with, the Holy Cross Ministries and the NPC TOTS, we committed ourselves to help them solve the problem.
What are you doing?
So we have put a strategy in place with the Community Foundation, and we made the lead gift toward executing the strategy to eliminate the waiting list. There's a waiting list of up to 100 kids between the ages 0 and 3 looking to access preschool facilities, and we have enabled them to hire coordinators and leaders of this initiative and to put the fundraising mechanisms in place that will raise $1 million over the next 2 years to eliminate this issue and to put the infrastructure in place to ensure that this issue is eliminated long term. So we're very involved in our community and community organizations in Los Angeles, and we don't believe in just writing checks, although we do that. We believe, my wife and I believe in engaging hands-on in helping to solve the problems, which is what we've done in partnership with the Community Foundation. I hope to be sitting here 2 years from now telling you that every kid between the ages 0 and 3 has access to an early child care facility and has access to a program that the Holy Cross Ministries delivers, which is the Parents as Teachers program, where they educate parents as to the needs of their children and identify issues with children at a very early stage.
When you say we are doing this, you mean you and your wife?
That is correct. In partnership with the Community Foundation. We know we couldn't do this on our own. We both have full-time jobs. And the Community Foundation has just been a fantastic partner. They have a finger on the pulse of the community needs, the organizations that help to meet those needs, and the relationships to put together a coalition to solve the problem. So, for example, this coalition that we've put together in conjunction with them includes all of the ski mountains in the area and most of the major hotels in the area, because these are the people that are employing the members of the community that are most affected by this issue and who will most benefit by the problem being solved.
Are there any other steps you're taking? You had this editorial about immigration last summer. You're now doing this with early childhood efforts in our own community. Have you reached out to members of Utah's congressional delegation or any other elected leaders? Are you doing some behind-the-scenes work, which by answering that question would no longer be behind the scenes?
Absolutely. So I am very actively engaged on the political level in Utah. I have to commend one congressman from Utah who has been at the forefront of this issue, and that is Ben McAdams, who we have created a wonderful relationship with and who is very passionate about the issue of immigration and early childhood education. And we have also engaged with the Chamber of Commerce on this issue in Salt Lake, and they're very active on the issue as well because they realize that it inhibits all businesses from succeeding, no matter what industry they're in. We see it in the development business where there is a massive shortage of labor to construct the projects we're looking to build. What that results in is either projects not being built or being built at a cost that doesn't really support their development. But regardless of the industry, everybody is affected by the low unemployment rates that we have and the shortage of labor to grow their businesses. So we know that by embracing the economic argument for immigration, it crosses political denominations, which is really our goal. Our goal is really to try to elevate this above the political fray and present this as something that benefits all of us, and engage with politicians on all sides of the aisle and members of the community, regardless of what their politics are, because we all benefit by enabling immigration of capable people who will fill jobs that are currently open and ensuring that those communities have access to critical services. So this is something that benefits everybody. The political environment is tough. We don't expect dramatic change to be imminent, although we have seen some headway just in the last couple of weeks. I work with an organization that's based in New York called New American Economy, which was funded by Michael Bloomberg, that advocates for immigration reform based on fundamental economics. And as a result of their lobbying and also the support of the two senators from Utah, in the next couple of weeks, we will see significant reform of the H-1B visas, which will enable country-specific caps to be eliminated, which has created a major barrier to entry. So there is some progress being made at the political level, but it is slow. So we focus a lot of our energy on the grassroots because we know at that level we can bring about change in a relatively short period of time.
We've been talking to Brian Shurkin, president of Columbus Pacific. Thank you for your time.
Thank you very much for having me. I've really enjoyed this. Thank you.